With us, Satira Advisor Networks. What the? Oh, I made an executive decision.
Okay. Yeah.
By the way, we'll get to you in a second, Paul.
It's not about hot dogs, is this?
No, this is about the Beatles.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to run that next. We're going to run that tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Let's do it tomorrow at 3.
I love the Beatles. I went to Liverpool and went to their museum, one of the most fascinating places in the world, the Beatles.
Well, we had Art Schreiber on Friday for an hour in the 5 o'clock hour. He was on the bus and on the plane with the Beatles in 1964. He traveled with them. All the stories he had. Came on the air, told us all about it. It was one of the most fascinating shows I think we've ever run here.
Yeah, it was great.
It was unbelievable. I mean, what the stories he had.
What a history. I was born in 1964, so. I wouldn't remember that, but okay. I do remember all the nostalgia of the Beatles. And, yeah, I mean, you know, rock and roll, that's where rock and roll started.
Well, we're going to do this at 3.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
That's fine.
Did I just put extra work on your plate?
A little bit, but that's all right.
You sure?
Yeah.
I'll buy a burrito.
Sure.
I'll buy you a hot dog with brown mustard, onions, and sauerkraut on it.
That's all right. You keep the hot dog.
All right. So, okay. The executive decision has been made. We're going to do that tomorrow because popular demand. I mean, just all the stuff I've gotten from you guys about it.
Yeah. Also, the podcast is now up, newsradiokqb.com.
Okay. All right.
Stay tuned to the Beatles tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep, indeed. 3 o'clock. We'll do it right off the bat. Pablo Spanogopoulos over here. All right, first, fun stuff. Before we get into the infrastructure and all those things. Actually, somebody thinks that you're funny. It's funny that we have a Greek financial advisor considering the what's going on in the Greek economy.
Sure, the crisis and them building the bridges. No, we're going to talk about infrastructure. You know, they were notorious. One of the ministers went to jail for pocketing money for infrastructure. You know, it's like one brick goes in my pocket and one brick goes in
the infrastructure. Right?
So it is pretty funny, right?
So. Yeah. So is it true in Greece, since I have you here, somebody told me that, okay, if you have to go to the bank, you better plan on being there all day.
Yes, unless you have a cousin that works at the bank. So my wife has a cousin that works at the bank, so I go to the front of the line.
Just like New Mexico.
Right. And they talk about social medicine, too. You know, they do have socialized medicine there. My dad broke his arm while we were in Greece, and my uncle said, hey, put a $50 euro in the envelope and give it to the nurse. And we went from the back of the line to the front of the line. So that's what you call socialized medicine, BV.
So that's
just in Greek it's called vato to fakolaki. Put it in the envelope and you'll go to the front of the line.
That sounds about right.
Okay, I got threatened with divorce if I don't get us to Greece within 2 years.
We're ready.
Okay. All right. Gotta do it.
Yes.
Gotta do it.
Your lovely wife, Nikki, and I are ready to take you there. We're gonna have some baklava, we're gonna drink some ouzo, and we're gonna dance.
Well, I drink enough ouzo, I'll be doing something.
No? Greece is wide open. They thumbed their nose at the EU and said, you know what? We're opening up. This is our business. And so they're wide open as of July 1st. Yeah. So
I'm vaxxed up. I don't care. Yep. Yeah. So, all right. Will there be a Greek festival this year?
There will be. Yes, there will be a Greek festival. So we're planning that. It's going to be the first weekend in October, first weekend of Balloon Fiesta.
Okay.
And thank goodness for the Balloon Fiesta and their hard work. We will always have a Greek festival as long as there's a Balloon Fiesta. So, yes, right. So we're excited about that first week in October, so mark your calendars.
Okay, so and where's the church again?
The church is on High Street, just off of Lead Coal. That's what we'll have parking ride. Usually it's over by University and Lomas. You can get parking ride for free. And, we'll have it going Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'll all be there working.
God.
We're excited.
Pre-pandemic, man. I know. It was last time.
I know. I'm going to Greece, and I tell you, it is the 200-year anniversary, the bicentennial of Greek independence.
Oh.
So it's going to be a huge party in Greece this summer. And so all the Greeks are going to Greece, and we're all excited about the bicentennial.
Wow. Big festival, everything.
Yes, everybody.
Let's get them.
Party at the Acropolis.
Yeah, party at the Acropolis. All right. Yeah, why not, right?
I'll put you in my suitcase. You can come with me.
Perfect. All right, look. So you want to talk infrastructure. The Dems and the GOP seem to have agreed on a bill. I mean, it has not. It's gone nowhere yet. But on face value, there has been an agreement. So in your opinion, do you think this is going to get through Congress?
Well, we know all where the power lies, in Washington right now. It's not with Joe. It's another Joe. So, you know which Joe I'm talking about, right?
You're talking about Mr. Manchin, I think.
Yes, the senator from West Virginia. I think, if he has it his way, they'll get something done. It's not going to be the $6 trillion that the AOCs and the Green New Deal wanted, but, I guess $900 billion is better than nothing, and hopefully it won't be like Greece where one brick goes in the politician's pocket and the other brick goes into the bridge.
Right. So, no, but they're talking around $1 trillion, right, at this point?
Yes. And they're also talking about when they do reconciliation later on in the year, that's going to be a carrot for the base that, they need to get behind this. Hopefully, if AOC gets behind this, then yeah.
So this looks like this looks like it's going to be two separate things. The first one we're talking about should not have to be passed through reconciliation, right?
Right.
Because it looks like it will pass. Well, at this point, it looks like it will pass through with Republican support.
Right. So bipartisan. I think that's positive. But really, if you think about it, TJ, right now our budget, the government federal budget we're spending $6 trillion this year. Of course, talking about adding another trillion, and we're only getting in $3 trillion in revenue.
Right.
Now, you and I know that can't last forever. Now, a lot of both Democrats and Republicans, they call them the modern monetary theorists, say, the dollar is the world's reserve currency, and we can print as much dollars as we want, and we can spend more than we bring in. But there was also an empire called the Roman Empire that thought the same thing, and what happened to them. So my take on it is gas prices go up, food prices go up, and it really hurts the poor. It hurts the working class. Gas prices going up and this inflation.
I've had a bunch of people like you in here.
Yeah.
there's different opinions on this. Saying some of the people say, no, just keep printing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore.
Right. So in the short run, the modern monetary theorists say that. Both Democrats and Republicans are modern monetary theorists. But I'm a student of history. Of course, I'm Greek. Your person was asking about Greek. Greeks are good at history. We're hopefully on the right side of history. In most wars, we've been on the right side of history. But, through time, devaluating your money and losing integrity of your money is a problem. And it's both a Democrat and a Republican problem.
Do you see we have inflation now. Obviously there are certain things in the economy, the prices that are going up. Food's going up. We saw what happened to lumber. Now lumber's coming back down. Interesting, like microchips and things like that going up too because there's a shortage.
Right. And because of the pandemic, the supply chain, even drugs. People were not getting their drugs and they had the supply was coming from China. So we were manufacturing our drugs in China, and so there was basically a lot of things are made overseas, and the ships are coming in full and they're leaving above the waterline. The ships are leaving empty, even here we're a small market in New Mexico. Big trucks, semi trucks come into New Mexico full of stuff and they leave New Mexico empty. That's a real problem here, even in our state.
Right.
So we're like a small microcosm of what's going on in the United States that you can't not make stuff. You can't just send paper. Eventually that paper will, they may not take that paper back.
All right. Talking to Pavlos Panagopoulos about infrastructure. I want to talk to you a little bit more about inflation, whether it actually might be helpful in paying down the debt if we get some inflation going on. Traffic coming up in 10 seconds. Hold on. All right, we're back. Thanks for listening. Talking to Pavlos Panagopoulos from Satira Advisor Networks, talking about the infrastructure bill. I want to talk if you think the $1 trillion is actually enough, and also whether or not you think there will be 10 Republican votes for it. But let's talk about inflation for a second, because actually, could inflation help with the debt?
Yes, inflation helps debtors. And who is the biggest debtor in the world?
We
are. Our federal government.
Right,
yes.
Yeah.
And if you look at debtclock.org, you can see us, we're ticking up to $30 trillion. So if you devaluate the debt you owe, yes, it does help debtors.
So inflation pretty much devalues the dollar, devalues the currency.
Right. But it does hurt. You think about the poor people that are seniors that are relying on Social Security. Yes.
Yeah.
People that have fixed income, even your rental income. It's hard for you to raise your rents. You got probably some pretty good renters and you like them, and it's hard to go and tell them, hey, I'm going to raise your rent.
Right.
But your gas is going up. Your property taxes are going up. Your materials to repair the house, whether it's lumber or whatever, any repairs you make. So, you know, yes, you're happy because your real estate's going up in price, but then how do you turn that into profit?
What do you guys see with inflation? I mean,
well, first of all, what the government says, the Fed will be on tomorrow, the Fed minutes, and the Fed says inflation's at whatever, 2.5%, and it's transitory. But you and I know that inflation has always been here. Back in the 70s, they did the same thing. They tried to devaluate the debt. And the only way to stop that is they raised interest rates to 18%. Remember that?
I remember.
Right. And so.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. And right now, oil is, you know, hovering $70-something a barrel.
Yeah.
Gas is now over $3 a barrel, $3 a gallon. In California, it's going to approach $5 a gallon.
Right.
How does the working class people.
Right.
Pay for gas.
Yeah, for sure. Right. I always said, like, you start paying attention to the price of gasoline when it starts to go over $3 a gallon. And then when it's $4 a gallon, you're really paying attention.
Okay.
You know. But,
all right, that work. And so that is where we're headed.
Is this going to end or is this going to continue?
It's going to continue.
How long?
Because here in this state, you know, they're limiting oil production, they're limiting drilling and fracking, right? So
yeah, but we just set a record in drilling in the state over the past month or two.
Right, but they also canceled the pipeline. One of the few oil companies, Exxon, the last few years they've invested in finding new oil. They found a big oil find in Gambia, Africa, and that's going to add to their supply. But you see the Green New Deal saying, hey, let's get rid of oil, but you and I know sun is good, wind is good, it helps our environment, but the sun doesn't always shine and the wind doesn't always blow. So, you know, we got to use some common sense in that, you know, we try to limit the supply of oil and gas, then it hurts us.
Yeah, but the country is going in this direction. In fact, the whole world is going in this direction. It's just how do you balance that with the needs of the environment? There's got to be a way to do this responsibly.
Right. And you got to think about somewhat, you know, free enterprise can help us. You know, one of the best green energy sources that's very powerful, but is also very negative to some people is nuclear.
Oh, we were just talking about this.
You know, nuclear has a lot of load and it's green power, but there's a lot of people that don't want it. So, you know, it's just like my kids, you know, I don't want to. A hamburger with mustard, but, you know, I'll take the one with ketchup. I mean, you know, how do you reconcile that? You know, you need the energy. If you're going to charge up your Tesla car, that's great. You know, you have a Tesla car, but you know what? You need the energy to.
Well, the power companies, we need to make. That's right. That's where the electricity is going to come from. From gas, it's going to switch from gasoline to power companies. Right.
And that talks about infrastructure. Now you bring infrastructure. Should the government be involved in fixing the electrical grid? Or should free enterprise do that? Same thing with the highways.
You know what my argument with that is? Free enterprise has not fixed the electrical grid. They have not done it.
Right. Texas.
And look at Texas.
This is an example.
This is, in my opinion, this is where government does need to step in. I know I'm probably pissing off a whole bunch of dyed-in-the-wool, ultra conservatives with this, but government has a place and a function. And I think if free enterprise is not doing this, then somebody's got to do it.
Right. But you also think about utilities are monopolies as well. So if in the case of PNM, if you have solar and you can sell the electricity back to the utility company, you know, things like that, I think that are positive, you know, versus mandating, you got to have so much wind and so much, you know, solar there, you know, there, wind and solar are very renewable, but, you know, you got to have some power and we're going to have brownouts if we don't have that power.
I think every new construction house in the Southwest should be required to have solar.
That would be good. It's probably cheaper. It probably would lower the cost of, you know, the house in the long run, and people would probably be happy to have solar.
It just put it into the cost of building the house. So it's something you almost wouldn't even notice.
Right. But we wouldn't want government to mandate which solar panels you buy. I mean, do you buy the solar panels from China or do you buy those solar panels made in the United States? You know, I mean, so there's a lot of, you know, give or take. But again, free enterprise, TJ, if you're going to go buy that hot dog and one hot dog on this corner is a dollar and the other one's $2, you're going to go the one that it's a dollar. If the hot dog is good. And
for sure. Oh, of course. Right. Of course. Yeah. The market will.
Right. The market
will determine what people buy.
Invisible hand. And that's what we talk about. The, you know, government always says, oh, we're here to help you. And government, we're going to take care of this. You know, I kind of like am very skeptical when I hear, oh, the government is here to help me.
Well, I am too. I am skeptical too. Although I'm not going to say the government is completely an evil entity. It is not. The government
is there for protection of our rights. It's protection of our safety.
Right.
You know, there's rules about driving. There's all kinds of things. But obviously, yeah.
All right, we're really late. We got off on a tangent.
Yes.
All right, Pablo Spanagopoulos, Satira Advisor Network's traffic. 10 seconds. Hold on. All right, we're back. Thanks for listening to today's show. BB at the controls, having a wide-ranging conversation with Pablo Spanagopoulos from Satira Advisor Networks. We're over the board today, man.
I know. You and I are thinkers. We're always
thinkers, man.
Thinking what's going to happen next.
All right, listen, we want to talk. I want to get back on point for a second with the infrastructure. When you've seen what's in this bill, do you think there's going to be shovel-ready projects to fix our roads, dams, and bridges and things like that? Do you see that in this bill?
I do, but like in Greece, you know, where you're one of your listeners, you know, the government, they come in and not all of the money goes into bridges, and sometimes the bridges are political. The bridges are bridges to nowhere. And so there's a lot of waste. We just hope that they fix some of our roads. You and I talked about earlier, Detroit and Pittsburgh and some of the Rust Belt states, they have old bridges and bridges across the Mississippi River. You know, we don't want to see any bridges fall or anything like that. And so the government, I do think, is in charge of the highway system. And we do hope that our gasoline taxes pay to fix some of those roads and bridges.
See, that's another thing that's going to have to be changed, though, because if there's going to be more and more electric vehicles on the road, less gas tax is going to start coming in. So they're going to have to figure out a way to pay to repair roads and bridges and things like that, not using a gas tax. They're going to have to figure something else out.
Right. That's a very good point. I never thought about that. But yes, right now, so even in California, they're saying, TJ, that by the year 2030, they will no longer be gas cars made or new cars on the road, which is kind of amazing. It's hard to believe. That means there'll be charging stations, so there's going to be a lot of investment in charging stations around the country. That's going to be a big. And then guess what? You know, the fuel that makes charging stations is lithium. And
right.
So lithium is going through the roof. And so, of course, we invest in the commodities like lithium and copper.
You know who's got a lot of those rare earth stuff right here in New Mexico? Yes. We just got to figure out a way to get it out of the ground.
Exactly. But we environmentalists are very touchy about, you know, and also we have pueblos and Indian, you know, sacred grands and things like that. Would you believe a Tesla car has 80 pounds of copper? Now you know
really?
Copper has gone up. Copper is at an all-time high. So we definitely talk about to our investors is looking at the commodities, you know, not so much the stocks, but looking at the companies that, you know, take the copper out of the ground or you know, the companies that do the lumber or the companies that are mining the lithium to make the batteries. And so that's just a kind of a safe way of playing all this.
All right, speaking of this, let's go there for a second. So how do you think that the stock market is going to react to the passage of the infrastructure bill? Because it will, I mean, it's going to pass, I would imagine, in some form or another.
Yes, and there's, you know, I put on our website, myfinancialsense.com. You can go to the website, the 10 reasons why we think the stock market will continue to rise. And, you know, obviously it's just because of inflation. So, TJ, the stock market's up in nominal terms. I'm going to be on with Bob Clark tomorrow morning. We're talking about the nominal growth of the stock market. But is it in real terms? Do you feel richer? Your rentals have gone up. You know, your assets have increased and your 401k here at KOB has gone up. But do you feel richer? You don't. And it's because your money has gone up on paper in nominal terms,
right,
but not in real terms. And now they're talking about raising taxes.
Yeah. So, interesting. Interesting.
Real terms means, you know, what you make minus taxes and inflation. And
Yeah, radio pays really well, doesn't it?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
You and BV are getting rich here. Yeah,
I'm living like a king.
You're printing money here at KKOB.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I'm not thinking anything's going to happen much around here, can I tell you that. But talking to Pavlos Panagopoulos, let's continue this conversation. Let's talk in real world terms now. Say you're getting close to retirement, or thinking about retirement. You know, 1 year, 2 year, 5 years down the road, maybe 10 years down the road. You see inflation. How's this going to affect your retirement plan? Is this going to whittle away everything you've put aside? What's the strategy? How should you play this? Hold that thought.
We'll talk about it in a minute.
All right. Pavlos Panagopoulos, Aterra Advisor Networks. Hey, reminds you again about ABQ IT. They want to ask you, business owners, is your business getting the most from your IT service provider? Now, you know, in 21st century business, your IT infrastructure is critical to whether you survive or you die. Your business, that is. This is why ABQ IT is disrupting the traditional business IT model. Same old, just isn't cutting it anymore. So instead of spending money on expensive IT employees, new computers, servers, networking software, all that, the list goes on. ABQ IT can provide your business all that with what no other company or employee can. ABQ IT has a complete solution for any size or type of business. It comes with one easy-to-understand price and includes someone watching your technology and ready to help you 24/7. No hourly rate, no labor billing, no hardware sales, no hidden fees. The monthly rate will not change. So you can trust ABQ IT to keep up with all the technology your business needs. Get a free consultation. Visit abq-it.com. All right, traffic, 10 seconds. Hold on. All right, we're back. Thanks for listening. Again, we are going to rerun Art Schreiber on the Beatles tomorrow in the 3 o'clock hour.
Yeah, right.
So just if you missed it, don't miss it this time. If you're a Beatle fan, you will find it fascinating.
I'll definitely be listening. All right. Yes. Beatles, the best.
Fantastic. All right, listen. What we said before the break, all right, you're getting ready to retire. You're close. Okay, 1 year out, maybe 2 years out, maybe 5 years out. But then you look to the horizon, you see what's going on right now. So you're, inflation. So what do you do? How do you plan for this?
So we have a software program. It's called Roadmap, and it's Money Guide. It kind of helps us, but we have to calibrate the inflation rate. And so let's say the inflation rate's, you know, the government says it's, you know, 2% or 3%.
Yeah.
And it's really, if you go to shadowstatistics.org, you can see that the inflation rate is, you know, closer to like 10 or 11%. And, you know, when they look at what inflation was and how it was measured back in the 80s, because energy is not included in inflation right now, which I know is hard to believe because everything is with oil.
Well, you would think it would be. You're right.
Oh, I know, and food. And so, and there's also a thing called hedonics. And hedonics just says, you know, the Tesla car you have, you know, is so much better than the Ford that you have that really the Tesla car is not $80,000 where your Ford pickup truck was $10,000. It's just, it has so much more. It's a computer. And so hedonics says, really, the car hasn't gone up in price. It's hedonics. Again, that's just a fancy word for the government to show that there's not inflation. And then that goes back to Social Security, because you'll be getting Social Security eventually.
Yes, I will.
The government will give you a cost of living.
Yeah.
And the government, again, they devaluate our currency, but they don't give you more money for your Social Security.
Look at my Social Security. You know, they say how much you get. If you retire today, this is what you're going to. Yeah, but the increases, I don't keep up, though,
exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, obviously, we can run numbers for people. It's better sometimes if you wait till 70 because it goes up 30%. But if you have inflation, you know, running double digits, I mean, you know, if let's say your company says, hey, TJ, we're going to give you a lump sum of $200,000 or we're going to give you $2,000 a month for the rest of your life. Well, $2,000 a month for the rest of your life sounds like a good thing. But maybe it's not such a good thing if you're calculating that we're in this inflation super cycle and inflation might stay with us. It might not be that transitory thing that the Fed's talking about, but it might be here to stay. Then you got to like readjust your calculations and say, gosh, maybe I'm better off taking that money and buying oil or gasoline or commodities or lithium or stocks or anything that's going to keep up with inflation.
So normally, when inflation goes up, and correct me if I'm wrong, interest rates go up along with it. Is that
right?
But that's not happening now.
Right.
And the problem with that is, okay, say my checking account, you know, I'm getting nothing. I'm getting like $1.92 a month.
Right. It's called financial repression. Yeah. That's the word. That's what we're experiencing right now is financial repression. The Federal Reserve is keeping interest rates at zero, so your money is becoming devaluated, and usually they raise interest rates. And we saw that back in the 70s. That's the way to cure this inflation superclass. How do you raise the interest rate, TJ? If you raise interest rate by 1%, then now we owe $1 trillion more in debt because our interest rate is higher. So really, basically, you know, all this talk about modern monetary theory is bunk, you know. I mean, but they teach it in schools, and the people in Washington practice modern monetary theory. But in the history of the world, it has never worked in 5,000 years. But they still, you know, they still come up with this newfangled way of doing economics.
Wow. That's somewhat depressing.
I know, sorry. But it makes my job easy because I can make money. Yeah. I buy commodities, yeah. I buy gold, precious metals, and all that stuff. And those things are going up in value. So it makes my, you know, as I say to you, BV, if you're there, happy. I'm at the gas pump. I'm making money. Sad. What's happening in this country? So that's my philosophy: is happy, sad. So yeah, DJ, just
so when's the dystopian future with Road Warrior going to actually happen? When's it going to happen, Pablos?
Well, I don't know if that's going to happen, you know, yet. But you know, TJ, there is, you know, I'll go back again and say, you know, the government, we're here to help you. You know, there is some use that we have for the government. I'm not an anti-government person at all, but we also got to be pragmatic and think, you know, we got to get ourselves out of this mess. The government isn't going to get us out. We as an American people, you know, today is the day after the 4th of July. You know, come on, let's pull up our bootstraps and let's get going. You know, let's get our
country going. Making stuff again.
Yeah, let's
come
start
on.
Making. Let's start investing. Let's start working. TJ, 1 in 5 able-bodied Americans are not working. You and BV are working. I'm here working on my day off, right? Yeah. There's 1 in 5
You are here.
People. Yes, on my day off.
You came in on a day off.
Yes, and so, you know, people don't do that. You know, my son's delivering pizza till 2 o'clock in the morning. There's just not people wanting to deliver pizza, and the price of gas has gone up, you know.
You also bugs me. Young people these days don't see the value of internships either.
It's a valuable thing.
It is a valuable thing.
I think people should pay
you. How you learn a trade.
But I think I've had interns and I pay them. I don't believe in non-paid interns. You should pay them something, even, you know, a token fee, you know, because I think these young people are working. And, you know, we talked about this earlier. My son is doing a youth summit with Tara Lujan, House Representative. And, you know, I think the young people want to work, TJ. If we give them a job and they had an opportunity or they saw a future that was not dystopian, the kids want to work. The youth are here. They're our future. You and I are going to be dead and gone in the, you know, dust in the wind, you know. I mean, yeah, you know, to coin a phrase. But, yeah, but no, we definitely need to get our young people going, and we need to get jobs for these young people.
I agree. All right, Pablos Panagopoulos here with us from Satira Advisor Networks. Don't forget, you got to do your spiel, but not quite yet. All right, traffic, 10 seconds, hold on.
Right now in Albuquerque, 93 degrees on News Radio KQB.
All right, Pablos, it's always good to have you in here.
It's always a lot of fun, TJ. You always have a lively, entertaining program.
All right, quick hits. Did we just have a recession? Was that a recession? Yes. Real recession?
A real recession.
Or is there another one coming? Or was this the recession?
It was government-induced, you know, the pandemic. They shut everything down.
Yeah, they did.
So
right.
Two quarters down, that counts.
But does it count?
It counts.
So are we okay for a while, you think?
You know what? There's always a black swan. You know, about that. I know. You never know when it's coming. So make sure you have a hedge like precious metals or something, you know, in your portfolio that if there is another downturn, you have something that zigs when everything else zags. I mean, you know, we always look at some type of hedge, you know, when we do invest our clients' money.
What are the jobs of the future? What are the industries of the future?
I think you can set it just earlier with your advertising about the technology, Albuquerque technology. We spent more money moving our, we moved our new office to 11,000 Spain, and most of my cost to move my office was technology.
Really?
Yes.
No kidding.
Computers and security and all that. So the business of the future, get into cyber security. You know, I tell the young people, that's all infrastructure as well.
And that's what we should be teaching our kids, too, I would imagine, right now in school. Maybe they're not getting taught that as much. That's what they should be learning.
Computers, my son. What do they say that back in the 70s? It's still the computers. It's still technology. It's the smartphone. I mean, you know. But again, we want to use it to our advantage, TJ, not for government to surveillance us or companies to surveillance us. We want it to be, you know.
You sound a little paranoid, Pablo. It's just a little paranoid.
Paranoid. I mean, just look at, you know, people want to have freedom, I think, in this country. And they think, you know, 4th of July, you know, the Minutemen. If you think about the Minutemen, that saved this country. And in Greece, Greece was under slavery of the Ottoman Empire for nearly 600 years. How they rose up on this, you know, day, you know, 200 years ago and fought back. I mean, that was just an amazing, just like the Minutemen, you know, of, you know, Concord. And so I do think, you know, we do need to make sure we keep our freedoms and our Bill of Rights.
All right. Do your spiel.
Okay. Enough of my soapbox. Yeah. Securities Investment Advisory Services are offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, and Cetera Advisor Networks is a member of the Securities Investor Protection Corporation. Again, I'm on with Bob Clark every Tuesday. I'll be on tomorrow at 7:43. We'll be talking a little bit more about nominal stock market, not the real stock market, and what's happening with that. So TJ, you might want to just check that out. And if you want to go to our website, My Financial Sense, or just give us a call, 828-4068. And TJ, it's always great being on with you and BV, and just love KOB and all the knowledge that y'all guys bring to your listeners. So thank you.
And we will do it again soon. I'm Pablos Panagopoulos, Cetera Advisor Networks, 96.3 News Radio, KKB. Hold on.